Hello again today. Welcome to another Bernie Miklas show here on YouTube. Thanks for your support as always. Thank you for all the comments as always. Trying to get up to 5,000 subscribers and maybe today's the day. That'll be good. And we'll continue to crank these out here on the Bernie show. What I wanted to talk about today was giving a lot of thought last night. I do some of my best thinking late at night. And I would advise Cardinals fans, nobody has to listen to me, of course. Everyone should feel the way they want to feel. But I'm very pragmatic in that I read a situation and I form an idea of, okay, what exactly should I expect? In other words, I don't go taking off on flights of fancy. Like if you look at the Cardinals, okay, since the start of last season, they're tied for 22nd. In Major League Baseball, the winning percentage, they're tied for 12th in the National League in winning percentage. Clearly, there's a lot of work to be done. And clearly, Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. has initiated changes. John Mazzei, part of it, bringing in Chaim Bloom, who I still believe will take over after this season as the head of the baseball operation. And if he doesn't, it's really absurd. I'm going to repeat something I wrote at Scoops Network, scoopswithdannymac.com. Yesterday or a couple days ago, sorry, where I basically said they brought in Chaim Bloom to give him basically a full season and then some to evaluate every aspect of the organization, including the minor leagues, which really, 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 to me, is the number one problem. More on that later. He should be ready to take this thing over. I mean, if you think about it, if you think about Major League Baseball, I don't care about other sports in terms of this topic. When someone's brought in from the outside and you have the luxury of putting this guy, Chaim Bloom, in a role where he gets to have more than a baseball season because he started in the offseason, to do the forensics on every single part of their baseball operation. And that is a very nice luxury. I mean, that is a very good way to go about things, because you bring in someone and you give him a title and you say you're in charge. You know what's going to happen the first year? He's going to spend the first year analyzing everything in the baseball operation. So, you know, in effect, you're wasting a year. If you Bloom has already done that, right? He's up to speed. He doesn't need to do. I need a year to look at all that. He's already done it. And to think that somehow they would delay this handoff from Mozeliak to Chaim Bloom, it's just preposterous. As I wrote, how many times has a baseball franchise changed the leader of the baseball operation and turn it into this like 2-year work study, work visa thing where you need 2 years to learn about the organization? You need 2 years, right? Because that's what this would be. If they keep Mo is ahead of baseball operations and Bloom is just there studying, that's nuts. Come on. When you see someone getting hired to run a baseball team right away, I think it's really great that Bloom was able to come in early in advance and to diagnose everything about this organization. That's actually a great plus for the Cardinals. They got a head start on the work that needs to be done. But to just kind of delay this another year, just absolutely bananas. Now, nobody does that. Let me give you an example at the end of the, and there's a lot of examples, but there's one that I want to, hit right now. Like the Atlanta Braves went through a stretch where they were great, like the Cardinals for a long, by the way, I want to thank Rusty Doss for emailing me and pointing out sort of some parallels or certainly a comparison. And, the Braves and the Cardinals had long-term success. We know the Braves went through a downturn. And, it wasn't good for 4 years. I think they had a losing record overall. I think they averaged about 72 wins. And then all of a sudden they began to get good. And one of the things they did, you know, after the 2000, at the end of the 2017 season or late in the 2017 season, they hired the former Toronto baseball boss, who's really good. It just didn't work for him in Toronto, Alex Anthopoulos. And he was in place in 2017. So they had a whole off season under him and they were ready to go. And he made some changes, but those Braves did not require the magnitude of the changes that this organization has. And again, minor leagues are huge. This isn't just about the Major League Ball Club. So Anthopoulos started right away. I mean, he was hired late in the 17 season. He had one off season and go. He was the guy in charge in 2018. And the Braves, with some of the work that they had done to try to get things better, then they bring him in to pull it all together. His first six seasons running the baseball operation, they made the playoffs. 2018 through 2023. They may not make it this year. They're two games out as I record this, out of the wild card spot. They have faded a little bit, and they need some work. The farm system needs some work. They're going to have to do some retooling. But the Braves, as I record this, they're 11 games over 500. They're a good baseball team. They've had some terrible injuries they've had to deal with, too. So the point is, Alex Anthopoulos didn't need a two-year work-study visa. You know, you come in and you get to work. Heim Bloom's had a great advantage of getting a head start on this. But, okay, let's talk about this part. I think you got to adjust your expectations. Again, you don't have to do anything I recommend. You can think what you want to think, have your own opinions. That's fine. I'm just telling you how I feel. The Cardinals do not have to do a teardown job here, right? They just don't. There's enough going on there to where you can turn this thing around, but it's not going to happen in one offseason. It's probably not going to happen in two offseasons, okay? I'm just trying to be realistic here. But if Bloom is put in charge and, again, getting the heck to work, because that's what this is all about, instead of hemming and hawing another year, he can start to get after it. And this doesn't mean that, well, the Cardinals, the first thing they got to do is spend a lot of money on free agents. It's not going to happen. You can want it to happen. You can say it should happen, but it's not going to happen. I don't like to get into titles in terms of, you know, what do we want to call this that they're in, other than a state of mediocrity? I'm talking about going forward. Is it a teardown? Is that required? No. Here are the titles. I mean, reset? No, a little more than that. Reboot? Kinda. A retooling? Yeah, but a little more involved than that. If you want to say rebuild, I think it's a rebuild. But a rebuild doesn't mean you tear everything down and you sentence yourself to having like five awful seasons. You know, you can rebuild and you can maybe set this team up for more success in 2026. Maybe it'll take till 2027. And listen, I know some of you don't want to hear that, and that's all right. I get it. But there is so much work to be done. This is not a quick fix situation. And I keep talking about it, and I'm going to mention it the third time. To me, the most important thing the Cardinals need to do and have to do is to go into the minor league system, the player development system, and they need to basically start over. Because when the Cardinals have been good and stayed good for a long time, it's because their farm system, their minor league system, continue to produce homegrown players, you know, whether it be position players, but mostly pitching. Really steady flow of good pitching. And that sustained the success. And then the Cardinals, it also, because of payroll efficiency, enabled them to go do some other things and spend some money on supplemental players that can make a difference. But until this organization doesn't, until they get this farm system back to you know, an area of respectability and actually an area of expertise where it becomes a huge part of your big picture plan to rebuild this thing. And it's going to require a lot of money. And that's why, I, you know, all due respect, as well, you got to go sign that guy. You know, got to go get this guy. No, this is not going to be an off season like that. It's not. It's just not. I mean, oh, they'll bring in some players, but that's the point. This is not a tweak. This is not like, well, we'll make some adjustments. Well, we'll just, you know, some half measure steps, a little bit here, a little bit there. We'll look for some value free agents. No, I mean, I would think the payroll, if anything, will go down for next season. But what better happen is that they have to rebuild their entire minor league system, and then that includes a massive, massive renovation of the infrastructure, the stuff that has just rotted out and stuff that has been neglected for way, way, way too long. And it's, to me, the most disappointing thing Bill DeWitt Jr. has done is to let that go down the tubes. And John Mozeliak letting that go down the tubes. This infrastructure overhaul is going to be really expensive. I mean, first of all, they got to hire a new director of player development. I assume that this person will also have to want to hire assistants. He or she will probably want to, you know, do a lot in terms of changing coaches, changing instructors, changing standards and practices. I've already told you a million times. I mean, the Cardinals, compared to a lot of organizations, maybe most organizations, they're very short-staffed in the minor leagues. They don't have enough instructors. They don't have enough coaches. They don't have a hitting lab. They don't have a pitching lab. They're way behind on technology. And they need new vision, new thinking, new methods, new. And that's going to require a lot of investment. It's just the way it is. Because they let this thing stagnate and rot. And now they have to pay to get it back up and running to where it used to be. You know, it's a situation too where they've been in this position before, but it's an entirely different thing. By that, I mean, all right, they're bringing in Heim Bloom way, 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 way long time ago, 2003. Bill DeWitt went outside of baseball and hired Jeff Luhnow. He was ridiculed for it, even locally, and actually turned out to be a genius move. Luhnow knew exactly what to do in terms of having more payroll efficiency, a better farm system, better ways to evaluate prospects, better ways to evaluate draft picks. And just really, really smart, really, really smart operation, including the minor leagues. You just go back and look at, you know, some of those teams that the Cardinals had and look at all the homegrown players on them. I mean, Luhnow was already gone by 2013, but his impact was still there because of the players that his regime brought in. Just look at the 2013 Cardinals, for example. It's amazing to look at all the players on there that were big deals to that pennant. Who were homegrown players, developing your own. And that's why they were able to have that. And Carlos Beltran, why they were able to, you know, have a great year and get to the World Series in 2013. You got to sustain your talent base. That's the minor league. So they're really going to have to go heavy into this, and they should. Because to put it off means you're going to, you know what happens if you put it off? This rebuild of the minor league system, it's not sexy. I get it. It's not headline grabbing stuff. But if you put it out, if you put it off, you're just delaying the inevitable. You're doing another half measure step. You need to rebuild the whole thing. You need to gut it, and you need to rebuild it. And you got to hire better instructors, more instructors, better coaches, more coaches, and more people that have an eye for talent. And you got to get way up to speed in technology because they are lagging far behind industry standards. But if you try to toot it, like half step that and go halfway with that, you're still going to, in effect, maybe it'll be better to an extent, but you're not going to have the model you need to really turn everything around, including the major league team, because you have to start developing your own guys again at a higher level. So for them to, in effect, shortchange the investment that's necessary, that's just going to make getting the major league team in shape in terms of just being really good again, that's only going to make it longer, a longer project, a longer period of time to get those two things synced up and to have those two things. Hey, minor leagues pumping out talent again. All right, Cardinals have made some smart decisions with the payroll. Now things are sort of aligned, and now it looks like they're getting close to being a really good team again. Both of these things have to happen, but to me is the minor league system, because if you let that thing continue to just rot away, you just aren't going to be any good. Because if anybody out there thinks Bill DeWitt is going to say I'm gonna go out and buy five free agents. We're gonna do that. We're gonna go sign, you know, Corbin Burns. We'll make a run at. I'm sorry, it's just stupid to talk about. So you get my point. They're not gonna do that. They need to plow their money into their infrastructure and their foundation. And the money part comes later. Nobody wants to hear it, or very few want to hear it, but that's just the way it's got to be. So I would say lower your expectations. I mean, 2025. I mean, do we really want another season? I'm overusing this term, so I apologize. Do we really want another season of, like, you know, half measure steps where, you know, instead of like you're missing the big picture and you're letting that sit over there and it's still a problem, talking about the minor leagues, your player development, and you say, well, we'll patch it here, we'll patch it there. We'll calibrate. Oh, we only need 85 wins. Do you really want to go through another season of that? Now, the Cardinals may be a team that can win 85 wins, but it's not because they're going to be buying players. It's because a lot of the players they have will be better, or they need to be better. And they'll also have some promising young pitching entering the scene in the major leagues in 2025. And if they get a bounce back season or two, you know, listen, they're going to end up, if you go back to look at the projections, and I'm talking about Fangraphs, I'm talking about Baseball Prospectus, I'm talking about some other baseball sites that specialize in data and forecasts and projections. Clay Davenport's another one, claydavenport.com. The Cardinals were projected to win anywhere from like 80 to 84 games. Well, they're going to wind up there. But it's not good enough. It's just not good enough. And one of the reasons is because they haven't developed enough good talent that lasts, and they have to use plug in, patch. You know, let's see what we can do. You know, let's get some spackling on there, right? We're not going to put in a whole new roof, but we can go up there and at least, you know, do like a half job on that. I'm tired of the half measure steps. I'm tired of seeing this front office throw money away and throw it away repeatedly. And because the farm system had died in terms of producing pitching, they made the worst move they can in retrospect. I liked it at the time, full disclosure. I'm not gonna run around with that. They needed Marcell Ozuna because I misspoke, because they needed a bat in the outfield because their farm system wasn't producing that. So that they had to give up two pitching prospects to get Ozuna. And we know how that worked out. So that's the kind of stuff you put yourself in those situations where you have to take big risks. And when you take big risk and you give up a Sandy Alcantara and a Zach Gallen, although Gallen was not a highly regarded prospect at that time, it can blow up on you. And that's exactly what happened with the Cardinals. They need to get themselves in a position where they don't have to take those kind of risks because the talent flow is going to be really good. And the players down on the farm are going to be taught well. They're going to have better instruction. They're going to have more resources. They're going to have more tools. They're going to have more people there to help them. You know, the Cardinals don't even have a minor league catching instructor. They don't have a roving outfield instructor. I mean, what the heck, man? So this, I don't want to see the Cardinals. I can accept a team that say, I'm just speaking hypothetically. Don't hold me to a win total. I'm just kind of estimating. I can put up with a team, and I could have some patience with a team next season that wins 83, 82, 84 games. If I know the overdue work, the neglected work is starting to be done under Heim Bloom. If I know that they're going to attack the problem that has been ignored for way too long, and knowing that the money is going to be pumped into that, and that's got to be a huge investment, I can live with this team being 500-ish again next season, because at least I know they're getting about the business of fixing deeply rooted fundamental problems, foundational problems. But if you don't get that, as I said, man, I know I'm being redundant. I apologize. But if you don't take care of that, then, you know, you're not the talent's not going to be coming through. And then you're going to go out and you're going to, you know, buy free agents. But, oh, they're OK. You know, they're not great. They're not prime. They're not elite free agents. The most expensive. What is the point of just doing that over and over and over again? You'll get to a point where you can spend some money on more elite free agents, but you got to fix the stuff that's your foundation has cracked and needs to be repaired in a major way. So I'm lowering my expectations because I trust if Heim Bloom takes, listen, if Heim Bloom doesn't take over, then forget everything I said, because if they're going to delay this another year, then shame on them. It's absolutely absurd to do that. But I can live with it as long as I know that there's a new baseball boss and he's going to have, I would assume, new people around him, and he's going to get to work. At least you know they recognize they have a problem and they're going to do something about it. And throwing a lot of money on questionable free agents? No. One thing Heim Bloom, I think, can do if he takes this thing over is he's going to find good value. He did it at Tampa Bay. And he redeveloped Boston's farm system. You know, he's got a great eye for pitching. When he was in charge of Tampa Bay, where he was their farm director, and then he moved to the front office, he was assistant president of baseball operations. Then he took it over. That whole time, nobody in baseball did a better job of cultivating pitching. Signing free agents from other teams where you're like, well, what did they see in him? They just have a way. They have what they still do. They have a way. Heim Bloom is a big part of that. Also drafting and developing. I think that if we understand that there is a larger issue here and that has to be solved before everything else can fall into place, I'm good with that. Because a tweak ain't going to do it. Half measure steps ain't going to do it. Well, oh, wow, let's go sign this pitcher for $14 million. It's not going to do it. And there's got to be some pain involved here. One of the things they're going to have to take a hard look at, we mentioned it on a video. I'll probably do a whole video on this coming up. They probably should trade Ryan Helsley. It has nothing to do with his job performance. It has everything to do with next year. You're not, it's like, hey, we're close to competing for a world champ. No, they're not. And his contract will expire after next season. And the optimal time to trade him is this coming off season, because you'll get more for him. I would even venture to say you ought to explore a market to trade Eric Fetty. It has nothing to do with him. But again, I mean, I think he'll be a good pitcher next year. But again, if 2025 is a transitional year, and the priority is fixing the player development and minor league system and getting that into place to run well again. What's Eric Fetty going to do for you, right? His value will be high before next season than at the trade deadline, right? You have to take a look at, do you move Wilson Contreras? I mean, he'll have 3 years left in the contract. I mean, it's tolerable if a team is like, you know what, his bat is really, really good. Let's take a chance on him. His defense has gotten better. We think we can improve him. I don't know what the trade market would be. I'm just spitballing here. Do you put Contreras, you make him available? You got J.J. Weatherholt on the way, and he could be here in the major leagues pretty quick, the 7th overall pick in the draft. Is this a situation where You see him coming and you're like, well, boy, this is going to be tough and it's risky, but we're going to put Nolan Gorman out there to see if we can get a bundle for him because teams love his power. And you know what? A smarter organization probably could fix him. If the Cardinals could actually put together that kind of organization and system and coaching staff, they wouldn't have to worry about, well, we might have to trade him. You know, he's had two, he had a solid rookie year. He's really good last year and he really fell apart. So we better move him. It wouldn't be nice if you get to the point where they actually know what they're doing at the major league level with guys like Gorman and Walker, right? Where they don't have all these false starts and have to go back to the minor leagues. I mean, I tell you what, man, I get a headache thinking about everything they have to do. It is such a long list. And part of that is seeing if you can, you know, maximize Helsley's value, maybe a Gorman, hypothetically, see if there's a market for Contreras. You know, Miles Michaelis throws a lot of innings, and if you look at his fielding independent ERA, more analytically minded organizations would look at him and say, you know, I know his ERA is awful, but his fielding or independent ERA is like 4.25 or something. We can work with that at the end of the back end of our rotation. He's got a no trade clause, but maybe there's a market for him, but the Cardinals would also have to eat salary. But if you eat salary, you're at least, you know, getting part, half or whatever of what you have to pay him off the books. Is there a market for Nolan Arenado with the understanding that you're going to have to eat a lot of that contract and he would have to approve of the trade? You don't bring Goldie back unless Goldie's willing to sign for like $5 million or something. And again, I don't even know if that's possible, but I'm just saying. So they have to, what's the word? I can't say the word I want to say. You'll know where I'm going. They've been sitting on the pot for a long time, delaying things that needed to be fixed and changes that needed to be made and new leadership that needed to be brought in to put it, give this team a new direction. They've been sitting on that pot a long time. So it's time to do your business or get off the pot, right? And they're at that spot. I'm sorry, it's crass. What can I say? I'm not a very creative person. Today, especially, I haven't had enough coffee. But you get my point. They can't just kind of like, well, let me see, you know, 85 wins this, 86 wins maybe. No, those days are over. They got to get out of the middle. So if it means some pain for a couple of years and some frustration, at least you know the really serious work that's way, way, way overdue is being done to get the Cardinals to a better place. That message is not going to go over well with some of you, and I get it, but it's my opinion, and I do believe that, like when a Jeff Luhnow came here and he made the player development system in the draft so much better, the payroll efficiency so much better, but they were already a pretty good team. They were a real good team, as a matter of fact. So it's not a direct parallel, but I think Heim Bloom can be a change agent and get a lot of things in better shape. And I know he's not going to waste a lot of money on middling players that just basically don't perform in terms of value up to their salary level. That payroll efficiency is a very big deal too. And the one thing I would ask, because I'm telling you how I feel, if the Cardinals have a lesser payroll next season, it doesn't mean, well, Bill DeWitt's cheap. No, if Heim Bloom's doing what I think he can do, they'll be spending less money and getting better results because they won't be just throwing, since I used the toilet analogy before, I'll do it again, because they won't be flushing money down the loo, okay? They won't. I'm not saying that they won't make mistakes because mistakes are always made. They'll come up with a more efficient model. And if it means that the payroll is down, so what? Get to work on everything else. You're not a contender. The point is to be get to the point where you are a contender. And then you can think about dollars here. Oh, free agent there. Let's go do this. That stuff's down the road. It's the Cardinals are in a way entirely different spot to be thinking like that. So I apologize that I was doing the bob and weave today and repeating myself, but I always find that, you know, you need to repeat stuff over and over and over again, you know, to really drive that point home. And I'm okay with that. So, but I appreciate you listening to me as I just kind of go into a riff about all this. I'm all right. I'm all right. As long as they put Bloom in charge and they get to work on the stuff that's been just sitting there neglected, embarrassingly so, for a long time. And that's where you begin. And the rest will fall into place after that. All right, that'll do it today. Thank you for your 30 minutes of time. I always say I might pop up. I might pop back in here later. It's been really hectic for me. I'm not looking for any sympathy. There's stuff going on, whatever. And my free time's a little less. So I'm doing the best I can. But I appreciate every one of you. And thanks for your support, your loyalty. And thank you for all your comments. We'll be back soon enough, obviously, here on the Bernie Channel on YouTube.